We have two more lessons in the book of Esther tonight and next week. Tonight we're going to talk about a message of hope that went out from the king. And you recall when we started studying the book of Esther, I told you it was a book in the Bible that does not mention the name God. Nowhere in the Bible will you find any form or any name of God in the book of Esther. In fact, we've talked about it a couple times. The two of the principal characters of the story, Esther and Mordecai, were out of God's will because they had been given the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and they had decided not to do that, and were staying in the land that they were carried captive to. And yet, even though they were out of the will of God, God used them in a mighty way to save his people. And so you might find it unexpected to find in the book of Esther a presentation of the gospel and a part of the story that reminds us what we should be doing in sharing the gospel, the motive of sharing that gospel, and the urgency that we should have with sharing the gospel. And yet in chapter 8, you find all those things. Now, it doesn't come out directly. I mean, it doesn't mention it directly, but the story that's told paints a perfect picture of what we should be about today and the reasons that we should be about it. And so tonight, that's what we're going to talk about as we look at Esther chapter 8. You remember in chapter 7, Haman had, or Esther had revealed to the king, her husband, that she was a Jew. And Haman had, of course, talked the king into passing a law, which could not be changed, to kill all the Jews in the entire 127 provinces of his kingdom. On a certain day, the people of the land were to rise up and to kill all the Jews. And so you remember the story, it was a couple weeks ago, but Esther came before the king. If he did not recognize or acknowledge her presence, she would just be taken off and killed. But he held out his scepter. She came to him and requested that the king and Haman come to a dinner that she would prepare. The king says, what do you want me to do? And I'll give you half of my kingdom. And she said, I want you to come back tomorrow, and I'll tell you. And they came back tomorrow, and Esther revealed that she was a Jew, said that Haman was behind the plot to kill all the Jews. The king got mad had Haman hung on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And that's where we left him. I mean, the last time we were in the book of Esther at the end of chapter 7, verse 10, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. And on that very day, let's go on to chapter 8, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And so the king took all of Haman's property. Remember, he was the prime minister, so he's probably pretty wealthy. And he, the king gave all that to Esther. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. Now, they were cousins, but Mordecai was older, and he had raised Esther as his daughter. Now, notice verse 2. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now, this is not part of my main lesson tonight, but I was thinking about this as I was driving to church tonight. The king was pretty careless, or well, maybe not careless is the right word, but he gave his king away, his ring away pretty easily. He'd given it to Haman. Now he's given it to Mordecai. And I just want you to notice the difference between how these two men used this symbol of power. I mean, you could use this ring to seal letters, and they would go out under the name of the king. And so it was a powerful thing. I mean, it didn't have any power in itself, but what it represented the word of the king. One of the men that it was given to used it for evil. I mean, he's the one that used the king to, or the ring to seal the decree that went out that all the Jews were to be killed. Mordecai, as we're going to talk about tonight, was going to use it for good. He was going to issue a decree in the king's name that the Jews could stand up and defend themselves. And there are a lot of things in this world that God has given us that we can use for good or for evil. They have no good or evil in themselves, but it's how we use them that determines whether they're going to be good or they're going to be bad. Medicine, for example, most of the time it is used for good. And again, realize, I know there's a lot of smart doctors, and I know there's a lot of smart researchers, and they do a lot of good things when it comes to helping people. But all of that knowledge comes from God. We're not going to discover anything that God doesn't want us to discover. We're not going to know anything. We're not going to be able to use things that God doesn't want us to use. But that same power can be turned into wickedness. And again, I'm not going to go on a chase tonight, but and you know what I'm talking about. You know, there are countries in the world that use medical procedures to kill old people just because they're old. There are countries in this world, including our own, that kills little babies using medical knowledge. And God has given us a lot of things. And whether they are good or bad, it depends how we use them. And everything that God's given us, we ought to determine to use for good. Just for good. All right, let's go on. So he gave the ring to Mordecai. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Now again, she hadn't been summoned. She's into the king, putting her life on the line because she could be killed if he doesn't acknowledge her. Then verse 4, then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, and Esther arose and stood before the king. And she's making her request and said, I want you to notice, just notice what she says. If it please the king. In other words, she says, I want you to be pleased. But if it please you, and if I found favor in your sight, you know, if I've been a good queen, if I've helped you rule the kingdom, if I've been a good wife, if I found favor in your sight, and the thing that I'm going to ask seem right before the king. And then she comes back to herself, and I be pleasing in his eyes. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedath, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are all in the king's provinces. Now, again, this is not part of my main lesson, but I'm going to throw in a couple extra things as we get there. Esther is giving the king reasons to grant her request. She said, I want you to think it's right. And if I've pleased you, if I've done the things that you've wanted me to do, I would like you to grant me the request. And I would just remind you, God wants us to give him reasons to answer our prayer. He wants us to give him reasons. He likes it when we come to him with a request. And again, I know we've talked about this a lot, but the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And when we go to him in prayer, we are exercising faith. Faith. I mean, God has no reason to answer our prayers. There's nothing worthy about us that we should go to pray other than what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. That's it. And so when we pray, we're exercising our faith. We're exercising our faith that there's a God that encourages us to pray, that's going to hear us when we pray and going to answer us. And as we go to him, as when we studied the Psalms several years ago, David pointed out to us in a couple of Psalms, when you go to God and you ask for things, give him reasons to answer your prayer. Admit to him you're not worthy, but Lord, you know, I've tried to live a life that's pleasing. And I think what I'm asking for is right. And I think it's in the middle of your will for my life. And if it's not, I don't want it. But Father, if it's in the middle of your will, this is what I'd like to do, or this is like what I need. This is what I'd like to have. And God is pleased with that. if we give them reasons to answer our prayer. Verse 6. Now we're getting to the main part of the lesson. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She's asking the king to put aside the decree that Haman sealed with his ring to kill all the Jews. And she says, I'm doing that because as I think about my people, as I think about my relatives, as I think about all the Jews that are going to be killed, that are going to be destroyed, she says, I can't take that. It breaks my heart. And we talked about she knelt before the king weeping. And we need to get clearly fixed in our mind what's going to happen to people if they leave this world without Jesus Christ. We do. We need to understand that if they leave this world without asking Jesus to be their Savior, they are going to hell. They are going to the punishment of God. They are going to a place they're not going to be destroyed, but it's a place of destruction. Just like the Jews that had no hope. There's nothing. I mean, they had no hope. They were going to be destroyed when this day came. It was the law of the land. Their enemies were looking forward to it. Oh, by the way, you know the people that had gone back to the promised land? The people that were in God's will? The people that were back there rebuilding the temple? And the people that were back there rebuilding the city? And the people that were back there rebuilding the walls, you know, like Nehemiah? They were part of this king's kingdom. If the law was carried out, all the enemies of the Jews that we read about in the book of Nehemiah, for example, were going to be able on that day to go kill all of them. And Esther says, I can't take that. That's what caused her to weep. That's what caused her to put her life on the line as she went before the king. And so here's my first point tonight. Don't ever lose sight of what's going to happen to people that leave this world without knowing Jesus Christ. Because the minute we lose, the minute that we forget, or the minute we begin to take for granted, or the minute that it doesn't bother us anymore, we need to get down on our knees. And we need to say, God, remind me what happens. How can I bear to see my family? How can I bear to see my people be destroyed and go to hell? And Esther said, I can't. That's why I'm coming to you. Verse 7, Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. Him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. This is what he says. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. The king says, I'd like to do what you've asked me to do, but I cannot. It's the law. I cannot reverse the law. I cannot call back that letter. I cannot call back that decree that went out in my name that all the Jews were to be destroyed. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, you say you have a loving God. How can you have a loving God and that God send people to hell? Why can't God just change his mind? Why can't God just do away with hell? If he's a loving God, why can't he just do that? Well, our God is a God of justice as well as a God of love. And our God can no more take hell out of the Bible or hell out of existence or change the punishment for sin. He can no more change that than King Ahasuerus could change this decree that went out in his name. You say, well, he's God. He can do anything. No, he can't. And I say that very reverently. Please don't misunderstand me. I know he's God, and I know he can do the impossible. But he cannot change his system of justice. He cannot change this book. Don't you think? I believe with all my heart, when somebody dies and go to hell, there's weeping in heaven. Not by the people that are there, because it says God wipes away all tears, but by God. By God. I think it breaks his heart every time somebody dies and go to hell. And you might say, well, why didn't he just change it? He can't. He can't. If he changed it, he wouldn't be God anymore. And so we need to have the same sense of, we need to have the same desire that Esther had when she says, how can I endure to see my people be destroyed? I mean, it was the same thing that that Moses said when the people of Israel sinned and they made that calf in the wilderness, and he said, God, if you can't forgive them, then wipe me out of the book. It's the same thing that Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, I wish myself were accursed, that my brethren could be saved. And that's what Esther was saying. I can't stand to see my people. And she said, can't you change it? And the king said, no, I can't change it. But, if you want to write a letter and seal it with my ring and write it in my name, you can. Verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. A couple points before we go to the next couple verses, and I'm almost done, so don't worry about the time. I'll get you. I won't be like the assistant pastor who keeps you till 7:45. And nobody's complained, by the way, Adam. I'm just teasing you. Here's another point. Every single person needs to hear the gospel. Just like every single person in those 127 provinces of every language group that were represented in the king's kingdom, Mordecai and Esther wanted every single person to hear this message. And we'll talk about it in a minute, that they wanted them to hear this message. Just like we should want every single person to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter, just like it didn't matter here, didn't matter what kind of people they were. The bad people needed to hear it as well as the good people. Didn't matter if they went to church or not. Didn't matter if what their economic standing was. Didn't matter what color they were. Every single person needed to hear this message of hope that was coming from the king. You see, before this was changed, they had no hope. They were going to be killed. They were going to be destroyed. There was nothing that they could do. But it was going to change. And every single person needed to hear it. They needed to hear it in a way that they could understand it. That's why they wrote it in their language. We cross paths with people that have different levels of understanding. Children to adults, uneducated to educated, every single one of them, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it in a way that they can understand it. I don't think it was any accident I sat next to that lady on the plane today. I think that was in the providence of God. I don't think it was any accident that the door was broken. I don't think it was any accident that she was a lot like Lois. I could tease her a little bit about flying out the door and she didn't conk me on the head with the 25-pound purse that she was carrying. But it wasn't any accident. Every single person. I mean, sometimes we go through our life and we brush up against a person. We don't pay any attention to them. That may be the very person that God wants us to tell about Jesus. And we need to have our spiritual antennas up and look for the opportunities that he brings across our path, because he's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, you got to hurry. Verse 11. Here's the message that they wrote. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assail them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. So here was a message. The king says, when these people come to kill you, you can band together and you can defend yourselves. You can fight against them. You can put up your defenses against these people that again, by my law, are going to destroy you. But there's a way that you can escape. They didn't have that way till this second message came out. They had no hope. But when this message came out, they had hope. We have a God of justice, and he tells us in this book that the wages of sin is death. But we also have a God of love that sends a message of hope, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all we got to do, just like these people, is receive it, is to take it. Now, one more point. Verse 14. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. They sent these messengers out with haste. They sent them out with a sense of urgency. They had to get out there in enough time before the day came to tell the Jews that they had a chance. They had to take the chance. They had to receive the message that the king was giving out. But they could save their lives by defending themselves. Verse 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white with a great crown of gold, garment of fine linen and purple. A little bit different than the sackcloth he was wearing over in chapter 5. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. A good day. I can just picture it in my mind. Here comes a guy riding a horse into a city. And he goes to the town bulletin board. And he nails a proclamation on the bulletin board. The last time this had happened, as the Jews went to read it, they read that they were going to be killed. And so perhaps this time they came with hesitant step to see, is this something else? Is this something else that we have to endure? Is this more bad news? And they come and they scan their eyes down this proclamation and they see that things have changed. There's a way to escape. And the Bible says they had light and gladness and joy and a good day. I want to take you back to the day that you got saved. The day that I got saved. It was a good day. Day of joy. Day of gladness. Day of light. Don't ever lose the wonder. Don't ever lose the wonder of being a sinner under the judgment of God to being a saint under the grace of God. Don't ever lose the wonder. And let's be busy telling other people how to do it. Let's stand. We have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.